Welcome back, scumbag.
And welcome to another episode of
From the Lower Level.
I'm your host, Mushy.
I'm Patrizio, and everybody's favorite double-ended dildo is back on the airwaves.
I don't think people realize, like, I never have any idea what you're going to say. It's always just a surprise for me. And as we've established, I'm jet lagged, so this is very funny.
Moshi, you are the other end to my double-ended dildo.
You know what? I've never heard an analogy of people described as like being a double-ended dildo, but it makes perfect sense. I love it for us. I'm like here for this. It's the most profound thing you've ever said.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Gosh, the drought has really broken, and we're diving into the dam.
Well, we truly have. You know, speaking of the dam, while the drought was in place, I caught up on the Real Housewives of Amsterdam.
Talk to me about it.
Maria, icon.
Okay.
I thought, you know what, watching some of these international franchises, it's always like, I see how you didn't get a second season. But watching Amsterdam, it was like, oh, no, I could watch multiple seasons of this.
You know what? I'm going to give it another try. I'm going to push through.
Yeah. I'm surprised that they don't speak English at all, because I feel like...
I feel like they do the Spanglish equivalent. On the first episode, there's definitely like, they'll say some things in English, but also we shouldn't have to force colonial languages onto people. Mind you, it's also a colonial language, but whatever.
To be honest though, like, I mean, my perception of the Netherlands is though that like, that Dutch is a dying language and they all speak English, and Amsterdam, like, you know, it's so like, it's a very international city. Lots of people from all over the world live there. So I was kind of like, in my mind, they were going to speak like, they were going to do much more of that like English, like Dutch crossover. But to be honest, it was like pretty much like exclusively Dutch. And yeah, so subtitles were definitely on, but there were just some real characters. And then like found out later that Maria had like her own reality show in 2016. And I was like, this makes a lot of sense. Like,
well, I need to know all about Maria, so I will be, I'll dive into the dam.
She is the only bitch I ever respected.
You're really full of the quotes today.
Truly.
Can I tell you that while everything was on hiatus, I went away.
To jail.
I wish.
To camp.
No. No, I went to New York to see what the fuck is going on with production. Okay.
Oh, thank God.
I went and I was like, what is happening here? No, but I didn't do that. I went on a little holiday and I had to go and what's it called? Like fact check. And I went to Sonia Morgan's house and saw that the townhouse is indeed up for auction. Now, I don't know if you've heard about this. There is, I suspect you're probably going to talk about it in Word on the Street, because we've got a lot of Word on the Street to catch up on. But I just want you to know there is no reserve. So, H&N, listeners, do we all put in and, like, do we start a GoFundMe to buy Sonia Morgan's house and, like, turn it into a museum?
Yeah, the Bravo Museum. Where else could it be?
But you do not touch the Sonia Morgan letters. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, but I would also just let Sonia live there. And, like, that's her job now. Like, she cannot leave the townhouse. She could just do her cabalesque in the townhouse. It could be, like, an experience. Do you know what I mean? One of those, you know, those shows, interactive experiences. I need Pumpkin back. I need... like all the former interns, like everybody.
you know what? Having her as the curator of the Bravo Museum in her own townhouse, it makes a lot of sense.
Yes, yeah. I was not pitching for her to be the curator. We are curating this.
No, well, okay, perhaps not the curator, but like the concierge, if you will, like.
No, like I want her trapped in the townhouse. She can never come out. That's what I'm saying. And it's we charge people to go in, and it's like a full immersive experience. You get the toaster oven. You get like.
Is it an immersive experience or an escape room? I'm not sure.
Yeah, both. This is what I mean. You see, this is what happens when we riff. And you know how, like, when you go through, like, you do a tourist trap and they always take your photo, like, on a ride or on a thing, and then, like, they make you pay for it at the end if you want it. We do one where people are, like, lying in Sonia's bed and they're doing, like, you know, the glasses down the nose with, you know, that, yeah. That
Why I stop at the bed when we can have the bath? Like,
truly, now you're really thinking. Anyway, H&On. Listeners, if you're interested, slide into our DMs on Instagram at From the Lower Level Pod. Let us know if we should get this up and running. Just thought I'd put that out there.
Well, Moshi, you've broken the seal. We're in Word of the Street now, I feel, in any case. Sonia's auctioning off the townhouse. It's like I think 3.5 million is kind of like what they're advertising it for. She was trying to sell it a few years ago for 10 million. So like it's a huge bargain. It's a
bargain. Like for three, like looking at how big it is and where it's located, like it's in such a central sort of spot for the Upper East Side. And I don't know, like, that the house must need a lot of work for it to be reduced by so much.
Well, I watched a TikTok about this, and they were sort of saying, like, I think it's not only that the house needs a hell of a lot of work, like the fact that it's next to a parking lot is obviously not great for its value, and that the surrounding roads to her house, although it is like very well positioned, it's some of like the busiest traffic in New York because it's like traffic that comes off the bridge.
Sorry, I was there. It is quiet as fuck.
But it's maybe not the street she's on, but the surrounding like main roads.
I mean, yeah, she's literally like right off like Fifth Avenue. Like it's insane. But it's kind of interesting because on one side of her, where she is, it's like hustle and bustle. And then on the other side, like literally just the other side of the block, it is dead quiet. It was actually really calm. Like walking up that street, of all the streets that I'd walked up, like I saw no one. I will actually say walking in Upper Manhattan or like the Upper West Side, Upper East Side, like people don't walk there. So I like hardly ever saw that many people on sidewalks or anything as I did in Lower Manhattan. But I don't know. The car park wouldn't derail me. She's got subways at both corners. Like, you know what I mean? You can get uptown, downtown in 5 minutes. It's perfect. I should be selling this property.
You are selling Manhattan.
I'm selling her house.
Well, Moshi, we need to get you back on a plane and off to the Big Apple.
Who's me to sell this house? I reckon I could get her the 10 mil.
Oh, that's a tall order given the fact that she's wiped 7 mil off the asking price.
No, I reckon I could get it. I'd just sell it to developers.
Can you even develop that property? Oh, that's the other thing.
Renovate it.
It's quite narrow compared to the other blocks as well on the street.
But to be honest, like for housing in New York in that location, it's unbeatable.
Absolutely. I may be placing a bid later today.
Oh, that reminds me. I need to do Powerball. I think I missed my shot.
Let's not interrupt that. All right, moving on. Other big news. Kyle removed Umansky from her Instagram title, handle, all the rest of it. Maurice has moved out of the family home. He's now got this like condo in Hollywood. And then Carl's been doing all these interviews about, like, she's still deciding if she's going to return to Beverly Hills, which apparently has already, like, is about to or has already started filming.
Two things. You called him Maurice, okay, Kim Richards. Do we care? I'm so bored.
I think we do. I think that, like, unfortunately, Kyle is Beverly Hills.
No. I'm glad that she's going to be on the show again. Like, you know, and one thing that I'm really happy about is that recently Andy has made his, like, allegiances known. Like, Andy is no longer trying to deny that he has favorites and things like that. So I'm happy for him. But, like, on the stuff about, like, her removing Umansky, her doing, I don't give a shit.
She's moved on.
But has she?
I meant you.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's so boring now. We got nothing. She used this poor Morgan woman for a storyline. I'm sorry. That's where I'm at now.
Justice for Morgan.
Morgan. We don't talk about those Morgan letters.
When is she going to update her handle to Kyle Richards Wade?
I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Sad.
Yeah, I'm surprised actually that she's removing her surname because I don't know, we've spoken about this before, which is the, you know, it means that she's going to have a different surname than her children, which I think is interesting. I'm always a bit miffed by that. But
think about all the luggage she's going to have to change as well because it has all the initials.
Best time to go to the consignment store. Kyle's wares will be on The RealReal on Vesta and they'll be cheap. You know how much that you can get, like, some really good stuff if you're willing to have either a dead person or divorced person's monogram on your stuff.
I feel like the days, though, of keeping your surname for the kids are kind of over. Like, Kim, she got rid of West. Like, you know what I mean?
Shows how little they care about their kids and that it was always just about the last name.
Why do you have to have – not having the same surname as your child doesn't, like
– is it correlates specifically to how much you love your child. I've said it. Said it.
Well. I don't even know what to say to that. Let's move along.
I'm joking, obviously. Well.
In the Beverly Hills universe, though, Dorito, there's been a lot of, like, casting drama. There's been a lot of, like, Daily Mail articles about the fact that she was being threatened with, you know, demotion or firing if she didn't reveal the truth that PK has been living at the Beverly Hills Hotel for the last couple of months.
For the Beverly Hills Hotel?
What was that?
How is he paying for the Beverly Hills Hotel?
Well, that's what the word on the street is, that, like, we all thought he was broke, so he can't afford to be living at a hotel.
He can afford to be living at a hotel, but not the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Well, that's the word on the street, Moshi. I don't believe this.
I do believe that they are separated and that they live separate lives.
Do you believe then that production is using this as a negotiation tactic, though?
Yes-ish. So we've spoken a lot before. Things that we've learned is that production will approach you at the beginning of a season to discuss what is happening in your life and what direction you think things are going to go. And I think all they're doing is calling out what they see, and they're always going to be their impetus is to make fabulous television. So they're actually throwing her a bone, which is like, I know, you and PK don't want to walk through your relationship. Like, you think you've done enough on your relationship. You don't want to go deeper on it. But we're telling you now, if you want to go deeper on it, that's what's going to make amazing television. And that's what's going to make you more compelling as a housewife. Unfortunately, Dorito isn't Dorito Umansky yet.
I mean, that's what she should really be doing for this.
And truly, honey, if she wanted to knock Kyle off the perch.
Who do you think is leaking the story then?
Oh, I think Dorito is leaking the stories.
Interesting. See, I feel like it's Sutton or something.
You think Sutton talks to the Daily Mail? I'm sorry. Sutton is too booked and busy for this shit. I really don't think Sutton cares that much.
Okay. So if it's not Sutton, I think it's another housewife. I feel like somebody is using this information to their advantage.
So Renee.
No.
Why wouldn't she?
To try and get back on the show.
Or Teddy. Not to get back on the show, to get back at people. Lisa Rinna has made it very clear that she's not coming back to the show, but I do think that she craves revenge.
Don't we all?
Yes, exactly.
Well, speaking of revenge, Moshi, the other big story that came out during our hiatus was this story about Mary Cosby versus Lisa Barlow in Salt Lake City. Because Mary used a derogatory slur towards Lisa's younger son. But apparently, so this is a twist that I want to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it happened 3 weeks before the story came out. Mm-hmm. And apparently had been quashed between the two women. They had reconciled. But the story was, you know, it was, came out in the media as they were on the cast trip. So there's an insinuation that people from Lisa Barlow's camp put the story out so that she could have something to like go on about while they're on the cast trip.
I think if you say something that is truly fucked up, specifically anything that is about a child or anything that is like just so disgusting and like, you know, I have zero tolerance for certain things. That's on you. You have to reap the rewards. I don't care if you quashed it with a person. You are in the public eye. That shit is going to come out one way or another. And unless you are Kathy Hilton, you're not getting away with it.
I don't think there's going to be, like, consequences for this, though.
Of course there isn't.
Like, unfortunately, Mary first seat at the reunion.
I don't think she could handle it.
I think, like, I don't know if you saw this, but Charlie XCX was on Watch What Happens Live this week and was asked, like, who your favourite, like, Salt Lake City housewife was. And she was like, Monica. And Andy was, like, pretty bothered by that answer. Like, I think they've made a huge mistake in, like, letting her go.
But again, one of the things that has happened, particularly over the last couple of years, is we are learning that this is Andy's show. You know what I mean? And he is essentially the kingmaker, and he either likes you or he doesn't like you. And that is what's going to – that I mean, to a certain extent, that is what's going to allow you to bring back. Like, I don't know if you just saw, but he was asked – who he's, because so one of the things that I'm pissed that I missed is that he did a live show in New York and I missed it by like a day, but he's been doing this tour around the US and he's being interviewed just by different people. So he just did one in DC where he was interviewed by a congressman for Long Island. And one of the questions somebody asked him is like, who are your top tier housewives? And for him, his four housewives that he said are like, they are the blueprint. Have you seen this?
I think I saw it, but didn't realize its true impact.
Yeah. So he said, when I think about who his top tier housewives are, they're housewives who I pretty much cannot stand. Right. So Tamra is like for him, like quintessential housewife. Portia, which I agree with, because for me, Portia, it's about the story, the arc that she's had. I think at the moment now she's a messy boots, but she does know how to incite drama in the right way. He said, what's her face from the New York? Bryn.
I'm
sorry. Bryn talks the talk and doesn't walk the walk as far as I'm concerned. And then he said, like, somebody else.
Let me find out who the other person is.
Love that.
Kyle Richards.
Oh, of course. How could I forget? I mean, it's, you know what I mean? Like, look at who he's choosing. I think Portia is the most spicy. I mean, Tamra is obviously very spicy as well of the housewives that he's chosen. But with Portia, the reason why she's been so successful is her growth. Right. And how she used the show. But And, you know, the fact that she was able to fall really, really hard and turn that around. But, I mean, aside from that, look at the shit she's doing now. Like, she's a Fruit Loop. Like, it's not great stuff. Her spin-off show was not great. But we can see these are the people who are always going to get a pass.
Mm.
Let Tamra go and then did everything he could to make sure she came back. Like, the fact that Tamra is allowed to have the podcast that she has and still be on the show, I guess now they're all doing that. Like, you know, Giselle is, I like, to me, Giselle would be on his list as well. There's a type of person that he likes, and it's the ones who are willing to play his game or willing to do things his way.
In defense of Tamrat, I think she did kind of change the game. Like, when she came onto OC, it moved from like one type of show to a different type of show, which is, I think, more in line of what it is today. I think it's iterated again, but I think that's why she stands out as a, you know, blueprint for the Housewives.
Yeah, I don't know if that's something that people should be proud of. She literally just, like, sex-shamed people. Like, she did some of the most disgusting and heinous things to people. Like, she's gross on the show.
She's evil.
Anyway,
we can't ask for all these women to be moral, ethical.
That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking for the women to be fun. I'm asking for them to be fun. I'm asking for them to be good, lighthearted, not some of the stuff. Anyway, we're going to go down a weird rabbit hole. But all of this is to say the moniker of it all. Like, I think we understand, like, why he was pissed. I don't think he's pissed because I think for him, Monica isn't a girl's girl. It's not a housewife's girl for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he's sick of hearing her name.
Yeah. And this is the thing. Like, at what point is it Daddy Andy's show, and at what point is it a show for the fans? We'll see what sort of season they have, Salt Lake City.
Probably a flop season.
Well.
Jessel just celebrated her birthday.
Taurus Queen.
Taurus Queen. And she had a Clueless-themed birthday, got picked up by people.
Perfect. It's perfect for the person who said that Tribeca is up and coming. Clueless.
I'm surprised you weren't invited.
What makes you think I wasn't invited? I'd already left.
I just hadn't seen your Clueless outfit, that's all.
Well, I was going to... Psy came as Dion, and that's what I would have come as, because that's, like, the only option.
That would have been, and, like, who wore it better?
Actually, I probably would have come as Ty, but I'm making all these references and I just want to check in with you. Have you even watched Clueless?
No, I'm Clueless.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I was like, do you even know who the characters are?
I'm too young to know what Clueless,
like,
is.
How do you know I'm not wearing a Clueless outfit right now?
Are you?
I have no idea.
Hang on, I'll describe your outfit to everyone. It's like...
I'm dressed like Ty before she had the makeover.
A yellow plaid blazer.
This is how people know you're lying and that you've only seen a poster of Clueless. It's a deep cut. People out there, I'm dressed like Ty before the makeover, and the real ones will understand.
I will Google it later.
You know what you should do, actually, Patrizio? It's like a gay hate crime that you've not watched Clueless. Watch the movie. It's on streaming.
I feel like maybe I have.
Yeah, if you're saying that, if you're saying maybe, you haven't.
Oop.
It's not forgettable.
All right. Speaking of forgettable, they almost forgot to give Kayana a contract for the new season of Real Housewives of Potomac.
I'm glad they came to their senses.
It's so weird to me that, like, that wasn't an obvious choice.
I think because I also saw today Andy's in DC, Karen's there. So Potomac has already started filming, right? Yes. Now, we know that a lot of these other franchises have been taking little breaks. So Salt Lake City filmed straight away, Potomac filmed straight away. And I think it's because I don't think they realized that Kiana was going to have such an impact on the audience until the end, and they'd already started filming. Because she didn't, if you think about it, she's not in like that many scenes. It's just that everybody else was so shit that she really stood out. And I think it's the fact that she has a relationship with Wendy, but also has a relationship with the Green-Eyed Bandits, right? Like, she's somebody who's kind of straddling those worlds. So I think they're like, okay, we need to explore this now. So I think that that is one of the things that is a fan reaction. And I think also perhaps somebody, they end up getting rid of more people than they thought they were going to get rid of.
Have you also seen that Real Housewives of DC has like made its way to Peacock, and that's having a bit of like a resurgence at the moment?
I have. I mean, it's every time people get to be reintroduced to Mikhail, like the world's best grifter, it always makes me happy.
I don't know if you had heard this word on the street, Moshi, but there was a suggestion that they were trying to get Stacey from DC onto the new season of Potomac.
I don't think she would do it.
I don't think it makes any sense whatsoever, but it just was like, it's, I think it was just, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, they've relaunched DC onto Peacock. Then they're talking about bringing Stacey back. Like, it's just, it was all very interesting.
But she's probably now in that area, like with those women, right? But I think it wouldn't work because I don't know about you, but I feel like if you're like on Housewives and you have like one season, I don't know that you would want to come back on the show. Like, you've lived your life now. Like, you've had your moment. It was what it was. And now you're just living your life. Like, do you want to come back?
I feel like, though, that this is like the reality TV like universe, though.
She was so normal for a housewife on DC.
Well, I know, but I guess it's just this interest and like where's her life ended up and all the rest of it. Like, I don't know. Okay.
I think she's her moral compass is pointing too north for these women.
Oh, that's fair. OC. This one just came out fresh off the press. Jennifer from the later season, her fiance Ryan has been caught up in this $16 million gambling and theft scandal. So I think he's been like named in it, but it's actually got to do with this like other guy. And anyway, so Ryan is like an associate who, like, you know, someone was wiring money to pay off debts. Like, I don't know. It just seems like very fucking messy. Tamrat's already come out saying, I told you so.
She's trash. Trash. Like, have you ever met a more two-faced person? I mean, I've never met her, but literally says she's your friend, brings you on a show, and then just wants to tear you down. Who doesn't have gambling debts, you know? PK, Ryan, Bruno Mars. Everybody has gambling.
Oh, Bruno Mars. that's a big one.
I know. And like, I love the fact that he cannot leave the casino. Do you know about this?
Well, because like he owes them so much money.
He owes so much money that he's just going to be performing there until he pays off the debt, like forever. Like, I don't think he's allowed to leave the building. So he has a residency, but not on purpose.
I hope that, like, being stuck in the casino doesn't mean that he is, like, continuing to put himself further into debt.
Oh, 100% he is. This is how they get you. The barrage or wherever he's staying, they've hit the jackpot, literally, intended.
Oh, dear.
Well, Mark Ronson's going to have to come out to Vegas to record the album in this the basement where they have Bruno Mars locked.
The backing track will just be the sound of the poker machines. Like,
I'm literally Googling Bruno Mars trapped in Vegas. That's going to be
not trapped in Vegas.
He's at the MGM Grand. Yeah, he'll be there for ages. Unless Vanderpump fails him out.
Look, just some asides as well, like kind of like Housewives adjacent news. One of them that is yet to be confirmed, I feel, but Bethany has allegedly broken up with her fiance Paul after like 5 years together or something, and they got engaged like a couple of years ago and kind of never got married, and it's been a quiet divorce. Like,
yeah, they didn't get married though, did they?
No, I mean, it was split.
I feel like the writing has been on the wall for a while. Like, we haven't seen them together for ages. Bethany's been doing her own thing.
Yeah, like, she came to the lower level with her daughter, like, just the two of them. Surely you'd bring your man along, I don't know.
I think the thing about Bethany is that, like, for so long, it was about Bethany finding a man, and then she found that man, and it ended up being, like, is her divorce even finalized yet? Do you know what I mean? Like, it ended up being the worst thing ever, but then she got her daughter, and I feel like she's pretty happy with her daughter and her TikTok. I don't think she needs a man.
No one needs a man.
Say it, sister. Say it.
I just did.
Speak on it. Preach. Amen. Hallelujah.
No amen. Why are the men up in it?
Patriot. Fucking everyone.
And then Dorinda, Teresa, and Kenya have allegedly all been signed onto the new season of The Traitors. Phaedra said that, you know, the new season would be making it nice, which was obviously a Dorinda reference. And as a result, that Atlanta's filming has been delayed. So that obviously Kenya, because there was sort of like a suggestion of like, how could Kenya be doing The Traitors if she was going to be filming Atlanta? But I think the opposite has happened, that they've paused on Atlanta for the moment. It will start in the Northern Hemisphere summer, and Kenya will film The Traitors. But I mean, even like Teresa's booked on busy. She's coming up on like the, what was that other show that was no good, but The Villains.
If Lauren Cheshire can be on Big Brother whilst Cheshire is filming, I think that Kenya can be on The Traitors while Atlanta is filming. I think one of the things that Peacock has realised is just how much traction putting Housewives on The Traitors is having. Like, I think they underestimated that is the thing that people love, the Bravo Labs over the other Labs, right?
It's so funny to me that you mentioned Lauren going into the Big Brother house in Cheshire, because she's like literally up for potentially 3 weeks in the Big Brother house. And I was like, that's literally how long it takes them to film a season in Cheshire. Like, she was truly going to be out for the entire season.
That episode of Cheshire, though, where they find out that she is on Big Brother, it was like, okay, we've told you to watch Cheshire before, but you should really watch, I want to say, the most recent episode, episode 6 or something, because Lauren has had to keep this a secret. So she just sort of keeps missing events, and they're all speculating that she's on Big Brother, and Peekaboo throws a viewing party so that they can check, and it's really clear. Like, it's the one thing that I think I've ever seen in Cheshire that isn't like a little bit fake. Like, their genuine reactions to seeing Lauren on Big Brother is so beautiful. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, it was like the realest moment that like shows
ever they've ever had. And it was just, it's just like pure joy. It's one of those moments where you're just like, you know, even though people don't like each other and all of that sort of stuff, if you could bottle pure joy, it happened in that moment. And it was so good. And I was just like, oh, I was right there with them.
Cheshire's, I think this season's not doing so bad. Like, it's actually okay.
We'll say that for now.
Yeah. All right, Moshi, let's get into the reason for the season. The drought is broken.
Hallelujah.
It has been broken with my Zias from The Real Housewives of New Jersey. Season 14, that Queen Teresa has been gracing our screens.
Can I tell you that now that I have been through the turnpike, a different relationship with these women?
In a positive or a negative way?
Positive. Only positive. I love
that. All the women are back from the previous season. We have Jen Fessler returning as a friend of. We've got Jackie back as a friend of. Let's talk about the important thing first, the taglines of the season. I think, like, taglines in the last, like, 12 months have really taken a hit. We're running out of things to say.
They've been rubbish.
Like, it needs to go back to, you know, I think we've had this discussion, you know, just the outtakes, like, of something that they've said throughout the season. But I actually think, you know, Jersey, we have to remember that this is, like, of all the franchises, like, it is trash. Like, it is given no budget. Like, they've had the same opening for, like, 12 seasons now. Like, they've reused the cover shoot from, like, the last season. Like, no one is spending any money on this franchise. So, like, we can't expect the taglines to be good. But these are really good for a bad bunch. You know what I mean?
I think somebody has figured out how ChatGPT works. No, to improve them.
Which tagline do you think ChatGPT did the best work on?
Teresa's. I don't know why. I really like Teresa's because she leaned into the tree. The tree keeps on going. You can try to tear me down, but this tree keeps on growing. I was like, it's a winner.
Because we're the tree huggers. Like, it all makes sense. Like,
so you don't have to explain it. The people get it.
Okay, well, sorry. If we didn't explain anything, this podcast would be 3 minutes long.
True. Margaret's, while you're taking cheap shots, I'm taking screenshots, is funny to me, but it's also lame.
I think it's kind of, like, as far as New Jersey taglines go, I think it's kind of iconic. Like, the fact that we're just leaning into the fact that you are just, like, messy boots taking screenshots.
Yes.
And normally, like, you know, the cheap shots is followed by a line about tequila or an alcohol of choice or whatever. The fact that she's, like, flipped it and given us screenshots, I'm like, yes.
I mean, I love it. I love that she is in her, like, she's fully embracing, oh, I am the chaos. Okay.
I feel like one that ChatGPT feels like it's got its fingerprints on is Dolores's, which is, like, I'm a girl from Patterson playing Switzerland and dating an Irishman, because it's giving me Necker from Potomac, who was like, I was raised by Nigeria, like, grew up in LA, and Potomac will remember me, or whatever it was, right? Like,
you know what it's giving? Same
formula.
It's giving search engine optimization. It's giving keyword search, okay? And for that reason alone, it's not ChatGPT, because the prompt would do better.
The one that I've seen as well, like, this comment online, which I am going to endorse today, Jennifer Aiden, that could have been a Kyle Richards tagline if you had just put in Beverly Hills at the end.
And when I heard it, I was like, oh, she's gone down that path.
Yeah, friends are like handbags. The fake ones are all easy to spot.
It's also very Ramona-esque.
No, it is Kyle coded. Like,
but I think that is, like, a thing. Like, I think Kyle is the queen of those taglines. But I also feel like Ramona, what's Ramona's one about having taste or something?
I'm an acquired taste. If you don't like me, acquire some taste.
I mean, it's that same vibe. Friends are like handbags. The fake ones are all easy to spot. It's like, actually, the fake ones are hard to spot.
These days they are.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the actual irony. Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah, like, the others are, like, not even worth a mention, to be quite honest.
Correct.
I think, like, one of the things that struck me the most this episode, you know, one of the themes was, you know, both Melissa and Teresa's daughters are off to college. Like, these kids have grown. Like, we watched Odriana, like, be born on the TV, and now she is, like, a mini Melania. Like, it's wild.
I mean, it's what's really wild is that Gabriella and Odriana are just, like, so normal. No offense to Melania. I love Melania. She's an icon. But just like, you know, the quiet ones, the sweet ones. I love it. It's like every second daughter is intense in that household.
And like the other, like, I feel like there's such an emphasis on the daughters, but like,
on the what?
Daughters.
Daughters, yeah.
D-O-R-T-E-R.
Yep. Daughters. Yeah.
But Melissa's sons.
Gino and Joey.
Fully grown, like, it's mind-blowing to me.
Well, 13 and 16, they're not fully grown. They're still children.
In my mind, they're still, like, 4 years old.
We're still at Joey's christening. I messaged you today because one of the things that is really sad is that Joe and Melissa's kids have Melissa's original nose. And it's so funny because I'm like, like it's so obvious they have her nose as well. It's like, it's a shame she got the nose job.
This is what happens. Your kids are going to have your nose and then you go and shave yours off. Like, especially when you are a woman of Italian heritage, you know.
She's spicy, you know, but yeah. But no, you're absolutely right. We have had a chance to really watch these kids grow up. And one of the things that was really compelling for me is our second season ladies. So in particular, Fuda and
Danielle.
Fessler. No, I'm just talking about people who are back this season, not necessarily turnpike holders. But Jen Fessler and Rachel Fuda. I mean, Jen Fessler was definitely woken up last season. We learned a lot about her. She was the comedic relief, and I don't think that's going to change. But we met Jen's kids in, like, we saw them in this episode. And with Rachel Fuda, we, like, she brought us into her family. Like, how is she opening the season? Do you know what I mean? She literally went from doing nothing last season to waking up. And this is one thing that I want to just call out, which is whoever is producing them this season is doing their job. Like, I could already tell from the beginning that, like, there has been this conscious effort, which is, okay, we have this really specific feud that has happened. We had one of the most intense reunions ever. How do we diffuse this? And the show, I can already tell, is being produced with this mindset of, we cannot fuck this up or it's over for all of us. And I love it when people are scared, Patrizio.
I do think, like, the threat of, like, termination does do some things. I think, I mean, this season was always going to be a challenge because you have two housewives going into it who say that they're going to refuse being in the same space, the same physical space as each other. But it's interesting that you think that those two, you know, have been sort of earmarked, because for me, this is the season of the godmother.
I 100% agree with you that Dolores is running the show. But what I'm saying is, how do you, coming off such an intense season 13, how do we set this up? Because how do we get people in the same place, right? There's no way you could have told me after the last reunion that at the first party of the season, Joe and Teresa and everyone would be in the same room. There's no way I would have believed it, right? So how do they diffuse? They bring the clown in, which is Jen Fessler, and then they bring this girl who we got nothing from last season, but evidently she also watched herself back and was like, I need to do better this season, right? Otherwise, I'm on the chopping block. And she brings in this cast of characters. Like, it brought us back to what the show was originally about, which is family. You know, watching Rachel Fuda's family, it was giving us, you know, meeting the Manzos. Do you know what I mean? Like, we had the fun grandma. We had all of that sort of stuff. And
the
how
grandma is, with the rehearsed lines. Come on.
Doesn't matter. But that's what I'm saying, Patrizio. The whole thing is produced, but it's been produced because people are on fire because they know that shit's about to go down. From a purely producing a television show, this was a phenomenal first episode. For that reason that they realize how to diffuse it. Because there's, how am I invested already in this season? I know we've had a drought and I'm desperate for Housewives, but the season shouldn't have been as good as it was. The opening episode shouldn't have been as good as it was. but it really was. And I just think as well, like, why is Rachel throwing, like, all of it is fake. Like, why is Rachel throwing Jen a party? Like, all of that is screaming, you know, it's been produced. We're giving Rachel things to do, but she's willing to go in and be like that mediator and diffuse the situation, her and Jen Fessler. And I think from a production standpoint, it is genius. I just want to say sometimes they get it right. I don't care if it's rehearsed. It was smart.
I think there is something to be said about that too, because I thought this episode had really good pace. Yeah. I was kind of like, when it was wrapping, I was like, oh, it's already over. Like, over. 25 minutes. Like, when did that happen?
And it's because we were tuned in. We didn't like zone out. We didn't fall asleep. Everything was light. And I also just want to commend the tree that keeps on growing. Teresa was turned all the way up. Like, things that shook me is every time she referred to Louis as her husband, like, I was like, what does she mean, her husband? Where's Joe? Where's Joe? Like, I was like, oh, my God, she has a husband. And also just, like, I don't know. I just felt like this is the like, she was messy. She was everything. Like, it was giving old school. And I think part of it is one of the things that, you know, did I tell you that I was in New York?
No.
They were Bravo. Like, I love Bravo. It's great to have access to it. But all they did the whole time I was there was play New Jersey, like, just marathons leading up to this episode. So I'd wake up at, like, 6 a.m. and just start watching New Jersey while I started my day.
The dream.
Truly, like, I can't describe it. Sorry to the people traveling with me. But it got me into that mindset because I was watching those old episodes. I was watching the feuds that when it first started with Melissa. I was watching the Thanksgiving episodes, like all of that stuff. So I was already like, oh, I miss this tree. I miss this tree. And so that tree is back. And she's back because she has a husband.
Well, and I think as well, like, it was interesting. I feel like there is a very orchestrated plot this season to try and ice Teresa out of the conversation, of the events, of everything, right? And it's being done, one, by Melissa, who, you know, in her confessionals in one breath says that she doesn't want to talk about Teresa this year, and then is answering questions about how it's like to be in a room with Teresa again, kind of thing. The Margaret is also refusing to engage and talk to her and tells Fessler that, like, she's not going to be talking to her at all. She's not even going to say hello and all the rest of it, right? That then Rachel Fuda is kind of also on this kind of like, I don't really care for her. I'll keep it nice because, like, you know, she's got an agenda, as you've sort of like highlighted, right, that she's trying to keep it moving. And then, like, as well, in all of this, we find out from Teresa, when she has dinner with Dolores, that there's this whole conspiracy that the one side of the couch met up before the reunion to discuss how they were going to take down Teresa. And Dolores is kind of like, there's always a meeting of the minds ahead of a reunion. Like what they did was not unusual. Teresa had also perhaps been rallying the troops behind her cause as well ahead of the reunion. But I feel like, one, this is what's activated Teresa, that she's like, wow, like, they are actually like conspiring against me at this point, so I'm not taking bullshit from anyone anymore. And I think part of that's true. It's really interesting. I feel like New Jersey is a real activator for a lot of people. And I don't know whether it's just the fact that there's like nothing else on like Bravo right now in terms of Housewives, so people are tuning in just because they've got no other option, or if it's just something that like people are secretly like watching it or whatever. But people are either on the side of like Team Melissa, like, Teresa's crazy, like, she's always fucking starting shit and all the rest of it, or they're Team Teresa, right? And it's Melissa has done all this dirty shit, she's got the fake Instas and all the rest of it, right? But it's this thing, I think, of that Teresa, I think she never goes for anyone. I think she is such an unbothered queen. Like, she knows that this show exists because of her it will continue to exist as long as she's there. She doesn't have to have drama with anyone. She doesn't have to talk about anyone. She can just live her life and have it shown, and people want to watch that. She doesn't need all these feuds. Yeah. The people have her name in their mouths, right? And the thing was in this episode that she is keeping several of these women employed, right? Because if she wasn't there, they'd have nothing to talk about. But I think it's the thing that they physically all met up, and that her sister-in-law was part of the plot, right? To physically be there. Because I think there's a difference to me when I put my, you know, my mafia hat on.
Not the mafia.
That, like, texting each other or maybe calling each other ahead of a reunion to kind of be like, let's just make sure we've got our story straight, is acceptable. But like a meeting at like Margaret's home to like plot the demise of Teresa is just one step too far. So Teresa's not fucking taking shit from anyone this season, and that's brought back Teresa from Patterson, right? And Dolores from Patterson is right around the corner.
So things that I love when Teresa has a conspiracy theory, like to your point, like whenever Teresa feels justified in, like, it's she will take, the thing about Teresa is you don't want to give her anything because she will take the smallest thing, and she because she cannot see things from multiple perspectives, she can only ever see anything from her perspective. When she has these little bits of information, she's like a dog in heat. Not even a dog with a bone. Like, she's ready to hump on your leg with it. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I love is when Teresa has been on the internet, because Teresa is not about fact-checking. Teresa is not about the citing the sources and making sure it's a peer-reviewed text a la People magazine, a la Page Six. Like, Teresa is the Daily Mail. You know what I mean? Like,
but you know what?
I love it.
She comes from the school of women who look like Teresa, and I want to quote the famous philosopher Alexia Napola. Maybe there's no facts or proof or research or a receipt, because they don't need receipts. The receipt is in their head and in their heart.
And that is when Teresa is on fire. But I also think she's activated because she's got Louis. Like, she's this old school woman. And like I was talking to you offline about quote unquote real men, and I was just sort of saying that I think there is something particularly in New Jersey, because they are a bit trad wife. They're like they're like a trad wife 2.0 is the best way that I could put it, because they're not out here like, you know, milking cows and making things from scratch. But in terms of like the internet's perception of a trad wife, but they are traditional wives in the sense of, if you're my man, like, you are going to defend me. Do you know what I mean? Like, they, if they've got a dude behind them, they are scared of fucking nothing. Like, there is nothing more dangerous than a married New Jersey, like, than a married Italian-American woman. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
With her real man behind her. And I think now that her and Louis are actually married, she doesn't give a fuck. Like, and you can, and, you know, in true Taurus style as well, when Louis was, like, getting a bit anxious about coming to the event, she's like, no, just follow my lead. Like, when she did that, I was like, oh my God, I love Teresa. Like, it's so toxic, it's so wrong, but I was like, that's when I knew that this was going to be good. And when she referred to social media as just the internet, that's when I was like, it's great. But the difference this time around as well is something that Teresa didn't have in those earlier seasons where she had her Jacqueline's and blah, 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 is she now has Jennifer Aiden, who loves to go into the trenches and into the mess with her.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so, like, there's nothing she can't do.
Honestly, I saw someone post that usually the last couple of seasons, Jennifer Aiden has been the one to open the show for a new season. And they were like, you know, thankfully they've given her a holiday and given her a rest for all the hard work she's been putting in carrying this show. And they had to have somebody else, you know, cover for her on this first episode.
I mean, she has been carrying the show, but her hair was also not high enough in this episode. I was really disappointed. One of the things about Jennifer Aiden that disappoints me is that I want her to be sluttier. You know what I mean? I want her to, like, I know she's had, like, the nose jobs and the this and the that, but, like, her fashions are still not where I want them to be. Like, I'll give you an example. Danielle went away, Miss Bougie, whatever, and, I mean, she was not in this episode at all, but when she did arrive at the party, like, her and her husband, they both, like, turned it on. Like, number one, that scene of them with the money gun and, like, showing their kids how to use the money gun, I was like, we're not starting them young on the money guns. What is going on here? But you saw the dress that she rocked up in at the event. Like, she's like, oh, okay, I need to do bodycon. Like, she's not doing the frou-frou. She's like, she made it really clear that her and Rachel are the young mums. You know, they're the young, yummy mummies. And so she's like, I need to look sexy. Like, I'm not wearing these frumpy dresses like the other ladies. And then, I mean, Teresa, hotter. Have you seen, like, a lot of people have been posting, like, all of Teresa's pictures over the seasons from season one? There is no housewife, aside maybe from NeNe Leakes, but NeNe's had a lot of tweaks. And I know a lot of housewives are on, like, their second and third faces. But when it comes to the overall glow up, for me, Teresa's is the best. Dolores's is up there, but Teresa's is the best for longevity and from being, like, you know, an OG. She looked phenomenal. The dress she wore, she could have worn it to the Met Gala. Like,
I mean, people are saying that. Like, it was within the theme.
It was within the theme. And it was also, you know what? It was everything. It was her. I'm just not used to her doing that hair as well. Like, the braid, like, everything about Teresa was so polished at that event. Like, I was actually really shocked. I was like, she's really stepped up. And then I'm like, but this is who she was always supposed to be, because, you know, she was a fashion buyer for, like, the Macy's and the Bloomingdale's. Like, that's the girly that she was. And again, I feel like she is grounded. Like, we'll see her in the activewear and stuff when she's at home, but we're going to get, like, matriarch Trey. You know what I mean? Like, everything about her, like, I couldn't, even though, you know, she's crazy, I was just like, but look at her. And that's what I want for Jen. I want somebody to, like, help Jen with her hair and help Jen with some of her clothes. I know she does go a little bit on the modest side, but we need to stop with the Chanel paraphernalia. Like, we need to bring it up.
Yeah, it's too much Chanel.
It's like, we get it, you're rich, but it's like, where's the quiet luxury, or, like, where's the glam of it all? There's just some things that I'm just like her outfit today was giving 80s, but not in a good way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially when she came in next to Trey.
Yeah, like, two different worlds.
Two different worlds, but the same world. That's New Jersey in a nutshell.
The messy, fessy party. I feel like that sign did not get enough, like, airtime, because I kept being like, does that say what I think it says?
And you messaged me early this week about Messy Fessy, and I was like, huh? And it wasn't until I watched the episode for the second time that I was like, oh, okay, now I'm noticing it.
I think the Messy Fessy party, where it failed is that it's clear that this is going to be another bullshit, like, Real Husbands of New Jersey season. The only thing that I was, like, kind of interested to see is that, like, Paulie, Dolores' man, I feel like he kind of had a very quiet first season. I think he was kind of, like, figuring it all out. But it's episode one and he's, like, already in the mess. Like, he is defending his mate Louis. Like, he's calling people out for their bullshit.
And I'm telling you why, Patrizio.
He was drunk.
No, it's the producers. I'm telling you that words have been had. Even just the fact that Dolores is this season willing to go down the path of, okay, we're talking about the fact that Paulie isn't getting divorced. Like, even a lot of the stuff, you remember with David, she didn't really want to go there, but, like, she's, like, going there with Paulie. The fact that we're not going to be seeing that much Frankie, like, words have been had. Dolores, you can only have one man full-time on the show, and he needs to go all in. Like, I'm telling you that words have been had. Pussies have been asked to step up.
And they're stepping up.
Fuda is stepping up. Paulie is stepping up. I mean, Fuda, We've got the veneers. We've lost the weight. Like, who is this man?
Oh, my God. Have you seen it? There's been a suggestion that he was, like, on the cocaina.
No.
At this party.
I mean, they all are at this point. If you're rich and not on cocaine, what are you doing?
In America, what are you doing? I think the thing is John Fuda is getting involved in women's business and I don't like that.
Well, I think the women are getting John Fuda involved in the business. I think here is the thing that why the house husbands can never be out of it. And it's because during the marathons, I rewatched the Can You Control Your Husband episode, right?
Mm.
And, you know, it stems from everything, like even Melissa and Teresa's fights. It was always about Joe. You know what I mean? What happens is the women, as much as they don't want the husbands to be in it, they leverage the dumb shit that the husbands have done and use that against each other.
Mm.
And that checks out to me. I mean, look at Bill and his affair. Like, that became a whole thing, right? And that checks out to me because this show has always been about family. So, unfortunately, with New Jersey, it's just one of those shows where they're units. They show up as a unit.
I feel like, though, that you can, like, I think the thing is, though, that, like, it's the solo husband scenes and stuff that is just sort of like, if does that need to exist? I don't know.
It does because the boys split off. Again, this is we have to always remember that one of the things that good reality shows are always going to do is they're going to reflect nature. They're going to reflect real life. And this is what it's like. Like, you go to these parties, the women are in the kitchen, the men are in the garage or whatever, right? Like, it's that separation. Like, you see it, the guys walking, like, I'm going to go be with the guys, like, straight off the gate. And they're having their own situation. They love to punch each other's dicks. They love to give each other shit, you know, all of that sort of stuff. So in that environment, and then you have their women going at each other, and then they need to come and protect each other. One thing that I will say that I think we should be taking from the Paulie versus Fuda and the Teresa versus Fuda drama is who was not involved in that fight?
Joe Gorgar.
Correct. I am so shocked that he was able to stick to his word and he's choosing to have nothing to do with it. Like, he didn't choose to either defend Teresa or go up against Teresa. He literally just was willing to stand back and let her go in for it. And that is something that we have not ever seen, which again is showing us where the lines are drawn.
Mm. What do you think of this news on the internet that John Fuda is a reformed drug dealer and he likes fingers up his butt?
Once again, why are we shaming people?
I'm not shaming. I support it.
I mean, if he likes fingers up his butt, good for him.
Do you think there was a double end of dildo involved, though?
Yeah, but I don't think he used both ends.
I'm not sure.
No, like, well, obviously he's not using both ends, but I feel like maybe there was a dildo and he didn't realize, like, he was involved with someone and a dildo was also part of it and he didn't realize that it was double ended.
Well, it's his baby mama that I think took out this story. Yeah.
So they had some freaky times. Like, good for them.
I think the more interesting piece is obviously that he is like a former criminal himself, because
we knew this though.
If we knew it, I didn't remember it, but I love that, you know, like, he is so willing to call, like, Teresa a convict and a has-been and all the rest of it. And Teresa's like, dude, like, we're the fucking same. Like, you are just as much of a criminal as I am. Like, we're owning the fact that we went to camp.
No, but I think the thing is that originally he had said to her, I went to camp too. Like, I'm not going to judge you. But then what Teresa has done is go around and judged him. So, like, I know you are a tree hugger till you die, but I do think...
No.
But I do think in this instance, like, he was reacting to her. But I do think that, like, he let himself lose control too much. Like she figured out how to push his buttons, and he, like, he couldn't play with the big dogs, and he shouldn't have. He shouldn't have done it. But, you know, he also should have had that chat with Louis when Louis wanted the chat. He wanted it to be on camera. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of production going on here. People is trying to step things up.
I feel like given that we're giving the men airtime, like there could have been a camera at the meetup, because I see what Louis is saying. Like the minute that there are others in the room, things start to change, right?
I also think that Louis is like so self-aware in terms of like how can he present himself in the best light. Like he already knows like everybody doesn't like him. So he's already coming in bad. Like, do we really think he was in Florida?
Yeah, I do actually.
Mm.
I don't see why he wouldn't show up.
I think because he is so conscious of the craziness that, like, he knows that shit's going to go left. And I think he's just like, I can't do it. And I think, Teresa is so protective of him that she also does not want him to be in those scenarios, right? So I think, I do believe that maybe he went to Florida, but I don't think it was, like, this last-minute call-up. I think maybe they arranged a last-minute meeting that just tied in with this event. But I think we are going to see more and more, and I'm okay with it, with Louis taking himself out of situations that they're going to erupt, because one, Teresa can handle herself. He doesn't need to be there for it to be spicy. And two, like, I want to sort of like him a little bit, you know?
My final thought on this episode is, you know, if we're asking, do you think things are true? Like, Paulie being allergic to Italian food. Like, is that a thing?
It's a red flag to me.
It's a big red flag.
Huge red flag. I think what we are witnessing is Paulie is in his red flag era. I think every week we are going to be introduced to a new red flag.
This man has only ever had meat and two veg all his life. So the minute he had a meatball, his body was like unable to like process good homemade cooking.
How are you living in New Jersey and in Bergen County or wherever they live and, you know, not eating Italian food? Like, it's bullshit. I think maybe he just is not used to flavor. Sucks to be him. But I also think, like, that's not going to work. I'm already like, Dolores, you need to get out.
But I don't know, Dolores is like a bit of like a, I think she's like a fitness freak, health nut. Like, I feel like she's having very like.
She likes her men to be men, okay? She wants to be feeding her men. And the fact that she can't feed him is frustrating.
So prediction for this season, we're going to just continue to get red flags from Paulie.
Every week we are going to be introduced to a new red flag when it comes to Paulie. So that's a segment that we should introduce. What's Paulie's red flag?
And you know what? If it's not his red flag, it's his red face.
I mean, I didn't want to say it, but then the way you have like had to clarify everything this episode. Do you not think the people are there too?
Give me some creative license, Amoshi, please. I'm telling a story.
All right, you're telling a story.
Building onto something.
My bad. I apologize. But yeah, every week we have to figure out what Paulie's red flag is of that week. I'm excited.
Red flag or red face? Like,
name of the pod. This week. My final thoughts were, great first episode.
Yes.
I think it's quite clear where the fat can be trimmed. Like, does Danielle really need to be on the show? Like, we're fine without her. I am excited for allegiances to be swapped over. You know, the Melissa and Jennifer, the Jackie and Teresa, which once again is another indication of production's moments of like juicing things up. And oh, I had one more other thing that I wanted to say about New Jersey. Yeah, really great start to the season.
I'm excited for this to be the season of Godmother, the Godmother, Dolores.
I mean, like, Dolores has fully stepped into who she is.
It's the look, it's the attitude. I just like Dolores, I think, like, as underrated, I think, as New Jersey seems to be sometimes, I think Dolores is a housewife. Like, she has longevity. Like, she is of this group of women, like, she's the third, you know, most seasoned of the group. And in fact, she was asked to be on season one and declined, right? So she is as New Jersey as they come. She is Dolores from Patterson. Like, she goes way back with Teresa. Like, she is New Jersey.
She was in the Catskills. You know what I mean? If you go back and you watch those first seasons, particularly the ones when the Gorgas joined, Dolores is in almost every fucking scene. And the thing then that we didn't pick up is she was there as the Manzo's friend. Dolores was actually the person that brought everyone together. She was the glue between Teresa and the Manzos. It was Dolores who made everybody friends. Dolores is fucking the chess maker, mate. She's playing chess. They're playing checkers. Dolores, she's been running the whole show the whole time.
Because she is the godmother.
And I do want to say, we didn't call it out, but I love that we got the, it all seemed so great. Like, we got the 3 months before. I love it when we do get that timeline and we know what we're playing with.
Mm.
That it's a quarter. It felt really good.
Moshi, it feels really good to be back on the airwaves with you.
And to be talking about a show, a housewife show on Bravo. We're back. We're out of the drought, baby.
As always, we're on the pod Instagram at From the Lower Level Pod. We are also on a podcast called From the Lower Level Pod. You can rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, post it on your work's intranet if they have a Bravo support group.
Post it in Teams, post it in Slack, post it everywhere.
We come back, we're back next week, more New Jersey, more word on the street, and Dubai yet to come. It's looking up, Washi.
Blue skies. All right. Bye.
Bye, Washi.